this week's episode of the Trusted Friend Podcast, a platform for women to share their stories, to inspire, motivate, and help us not feel so alone wherever we are on our journey. Every week when I interview these women, I know I say this on repeat, but they are all just so amazing. And my interview this week with Stephanie is no different. I absolutely love her willingness to share her story, her experiences, and the things that she's learned along the way. Of course, once again, all of these people that I interview, most of them that I interview are all strangers, but they do become friends as I get to know them, appreciate their story and their journey. And I'm sure that you will grow to love her as much as I do. I'm your host, Lisa Helton, and you're listening to Double Exposure with Stephanie Shin.
I'm Stephanie. I own a business called Steph Shinks Photography. And I'm at the point in my life where I love to empower other women to get through the hard things, make the hard choices, and really find their authentic voice. And how I got started, though, was completely, I never thought I would be on this path. Because when I was 16, I got pregnant and I ended up having twin boys that were 3 months premature and were in the NICU for 3 months while I was a junior in high school. And I can remember crying in the bathroom at high school because it was like the only safe place I felt I could cry, not knowing where my life was going to go and what I was going to do and who would ever love me. And all those feelings. So I had to get through that very young, and I didn't realize how much trauma I was holding on to from that. And I didn't realize when you're 16 and you're that young, I just wanted to be a good mom. And I really wasn't thinking about myself at all. And I was harboring so much pain and trauma from not only becoming pregnant, but the birth and after birth. And yeah, I just didn't even want to think about it. I just wanted to move on with my life and be the best person I could be. The biggest trauma I had, and I think it still carries with me a little bit, is just not having people around that understood me. I felt very isolated. My friend group was completely changed overnight because I couldn't do what my friends were doing, and I couldn't relate because all of a sudden I was a teen mom and I had twin boys that have disabilities and they need to go to the hospitals. They need physical therapy. Yeah, I had to learn how to not only be a mom, but a caregiver at a very young age. And I had my parents to help me through the physical stuff. They were there to help me put the kids to bed and babysit and all that. But I didn't have anybody to help me emotionally get through it. That's where the trauma was.
Yeah, that would be tough. What were some of the first thoughts you went through when you found out you were pregnant?
I actually didn't even find out I was pregnant until I was almost 6 months along. I think it was more denial than anything. I thought I was just gaining weight because that's what happens sometimes when you turn 16. So I was just trying to not eat as much and work out. It was actually one of the teachers saw something, a side view or something in computer class. She's like, something's going on with Stephanie. Then they contacted the guidance counselor, and then the guidance counselor contacted my parents, who contacted my doctor. And then I found out I was pregnant. And I think within a couple of days, I was in the hospital with preeclampsia and high blood pressure because I was just in complete shock and panic. And then to find out I was having twins was just, you know, a whole nother level.
That is a lot, especially when you're navigating trying to get your schoolwork done and to graduate and all of the normal peer pressure stuff. How did that affect your school life? Were people pretty kind and loving towards you in school, or did they ostracize you?
I was always bullied anyways for being different because I grew up on a farm and I'm a creative, sensitive soul, so I was never very conformative. I would say coming back in after I had the kids, walking in, I swear the whole cafeteria just stopped and stared at me when I came in. Look at there's Stephanie, and she, can you believe what happened to her? I just put my head down. I had to. I was up all night with kids and working, and I just got through it as quickly as I could and just tuned everybody else out.
How did you come to the decision about either keeping the kids or giving them up for adoption? And they're two boys, right?
They're two boys. Yeah, they're identical twin boys. I really thought that I was going to give them up for adoption. I really just wanted to get my life back as quickly as possible and forget about it. Because that's what we do, especially when we're young. And my parents were very adamant that I not do it. Although it was my decision in the end to keep them. I don't know how much choice I actually had in the matter.
Why did your parents want you to keep them?
It was so long ago, but my mom had said something about twins are so special. That's about the only thing I can think of. So I'm not sure why they were so adamant about it, other than they just were. They agreed to help me as much as possible, which they did, again, physically help me. But yeah, it was just a really difficult time because here I was thrust into something that I didn't want. And I know it's hard to say that because when we found out they had disabilities, which wasn't right away, it was just like, yeah, I just felt like my life was over.
No, I get it. It's hard because you love them. So it's hard to say that you have any regrets or that it was hard, but
yeah,
you're a teenager, right? And even I think even those that have kids older sometimes still have days where they feel like, why? My life is completely different. I've changed. It's really hard being a mother.
Yeah.
In normal circumstances, yeah, let alone as a teenager and navigating all those teenage hormones and everything else, you're just still growing up.
Yeah. And I felt a lot of shame for getting pregnant. I felt like I had let everybody down, which was something I, now looking back, I actually rose to the occasion and did the best I could. But at the time, I just felt no matter what I was doing it wrong. And to go through your teenage years feeling that way wasn't an easy path.
100%. Definitely not. I feel bad for you that you had to experience that. I'm sure looking back, there's lots of things that made you who you are today and stronger. But going through it, you're like, yeah, no, hell no.
Yeah. And I spend so much time now with my business and the women I help through photography, just helping them feel good about themselves, because it was something I didn't have for so long, that when your self-confidence is low, it's really hard to see the light and see where your life is going and be able to direct that ship versus just floating by whoever gives you attention. Or yeah, that's really it. If somebody likes me, then it's okay, I'm doing something right for them. That means I'm good. And so I would just be attracted to that. And the people I was attracting into my life saw someone that could be taken advantage of.
I can't even imagine going through all that, especially in high school. Because how long ago was that? What year was that?
That was in 99. The twins were born in 98 and I graduated in 99. So they're almost 26 now.
Wow.
But my 20s were equally as hard, for sure. The 16 to 32 was just, it was rough.
Bet you're glad there wasn't social media back then.
Yeah.
People would have dealt with trauma like back then with the social media and everything getting out and the whole world knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. What advice would you give to teenagers facing that similar situation now that you're on the other side of it? And they find out, they get home, they find out they're pregnant. Nobody knows, not even their parents yet. And they're in this desperate situation like yourself. What advice would you give them?
Find a safe place to feel the feelings. I think that's been my biggest lesson. And that's something I talk a lot about, is finding that safe place, that whether it's a journal, writing has always been a huge piece of my healing, or a trusted friend, which I didn't have. I didn't have somebody that I trusted. So I just had a journal, but that was what got me through. I think that everyone's a little bit different, but just finding a way to feel the feelings.
And what was your reaction when they told you that, now is it both your sons or one of them that's disabled?
So they told us to watch for specific signs for cerebral palsy. And one of my sons, when he started being able to move around and kick a little bit, it's called scissoring. So their legs are spastic. They don't kick like a normal kid would kick. So when we saw that, it was like, oh gosh. And thank goodness there wasn't WebMD or any of that stuff. It was like, okay, we see the signs. Now we have to go talk to our doctor versus, oh my gosh. So right away, it was physical therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy. I was running to Madison twice a week for physical therapy, and then trying to work and go to school. And then there was daytime therapy. It was therapy, because that's, even when the physical therapists weren't working with them, we were working with them. So my life became all about my son's cerebral palsy and making sure my other son.
That's hard too. Yeah. You're focusing all your attention on the one son, and you still have to take care of and give him the attention that he needs. Yeah. That's a double whammy. How was your family adjusted to the unique needs and challenges of raising a child with a disability? Did your parents really step up, or did they want you to do most of it on your own, or did they really step up and support you?
We had very, very different approaches to Drew's disability, so it made it really hard. There were some things we agreed on, but when it came to him getting a wheelchair, they were adamant that he not get one, and we would carry him everywhere. He was 5 years old. When I moved out, I was 21 and I got him a wheelchair. That was the first thing I did. A motorized wheelchair. That was the first time he could move really on his own. And they just thought if he got a wheelchair that somehow he would give up trying to walk. And I just knew that he needed freedom.
They
were not supportive. They were not supportive of that. But they're very supportive of them now. And it's, but in that moment, it was very hard. It's hard when you're the mom. I still had that mom instinct.
Yeah,
I was
absolutely
young, but I had it. And when you have two parents that are trying to parent your kids, it's very difficult. I felt, and I still feel to this day, that I never got the respect from my parents that I definitely deserve as an adult. I see that. And
so that mother's intuition just kicks in, that bond and knowing what our child needs. I don't think, no matter what the age, trusting yourself, but then having the courage to press forward despite what other people are saying, as you trust yourself. And if that feeling is keeps nudging you, no matter what it is, then there's something to that for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. And he was going to school. He was going into kindergarten. Was the teacher going to carry him around?
What are some milestones that you got through? And then on the other side, you're like, wow, I can't believe I did that. Like, kudos to me. I'm amazing that I did that.
Now it's almost like, it's almost every day I do a 10-minute gratitude meditation and I open my eyes and I look around. I'm like, holy cow, this is my life. Like, I have this dog and a cat. I have a beautiful apartment and I have a great relationship with my youngest son and my business is awesome. I celebrate every day all the hard stuff I've gone through. I don't care if that sounds selfish or not. It's like, it's what I need to do. Just super grateful for whatever it is that keeps us going. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, that internal compass that even when things are really hard, it just navigates for us and we find our path.
It's the hope of getting through it, the hope that it's got to get better. It's got to get better. So once you moved out, what did that look like with the boys and raising them and dealing with things on your own?
Oh my gosh, that was such a wild.
Kudos to you for moving out. I think that takes great courage.
I had to. I was like in a really bad spot with my parents. Like, we were in a really bad relationship. And first guy that, again, showed me some sort of love, I was like, all right, this is love. Let's move in together. Let's get married. Let's start a family. Let's move on from this mistake I did, and thought everything I did was a mistake. And I was always trying to fix the mistake instead of just accepting that this is life. My first marriage was not a good one. It lasted about 7 years, but I got my son out of it. It was just so hard to navigate again because I didn't have the guidelines that I needed.
So you went straight from your parents' house, you got married, or were you living on your own for a while?
No, because I didn't think I could. Everyone was telling me, you can't, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it on your own. I thought that was true. Yeah. How are you going to do it? Two kids, you're young. How are you going to pay your bills? So I definitely listened to what other people said. So it's okay, I can't do it on my own. Okay, here's this guy that says he loves me. Maybe he'll help me. And he was cheating on me. He was a drug addict. I didn't know he was a drug addict, that he was a pill addict. So I had no idea.
Yeah, they can hide it well.
They hide it really well. Yeah, I remember he was driving me to a doctor's appointment when I was pregnant, and he kept falling asleep.
Oh, no.
Driving. And he's, oh, I'm narcoleptic. I have narcolepsy. And I was like, oh, my gosh. When did
Why
you get
are you driving?
You know? Yeah. But here he had this, we're so naive. I'm naive and I'm very trusting. So when he was like, I don't take pills, I'm a good husband and this and that, I was just like, oh, okay, then what's going on? So he actually left me for another woman. And that was like, again, that path, holy heck, that was like the best. That was the one of the best things that ever happened to me. As soon as he left, it was like a Band-Aid ripped off and I just felt all this freedom. And I started to learn how to do things on my own and realized that strength has been there all along.
Good for you.
Yeah,
that's a tough life. You can't come out of that without a lot of experiences and knowledge that you can do it on your own. You can accomplish things. I'm glad to see that too, that you're like excited and willing to help give other women that too, because it was lacking for you, giving them the confidence. Because I think in general, women, we don't really have a lot of confidence. We do seek outside sources. We seek it from our parents first, and then we seek it from the guys that come into our lives. Then we seek it we seek it from our children. We seek it from our friends. But for some reason, we just can't believe it in ourselves that we're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
We're all seeking this outside praise and approval that we just, until we almost go through the hell process. And then we're like, oh, wow, I am pretty amazing. And we finally can figure out ourselves.
Yeah. It's that hero's journey. I love the Joseph Campbell hero's journey. And when I first heard about it, I didn't even think I was in it. I was in a battle for my mental health, for my freedom, for my kids, to be a mom, all of it. Yeah.
And do you think going through all of that has really helped you be a better mother?
I am such a better mom because of that. There's like a whole nother life I'm not even bringing up was with my second marriage. And I had 4 stepkids that for 10 years I helped raise as well. So I've had a lot of experience with kids and letting go, being present. Yeah, it's definitely made me a better mom. And I realized that no matter what, they're probably going to turn out okay. That's the lesson after raising 7 of them, that it's not worth all the stress. They're going to figure it out.
And they all have to go through their own trials and sorrows to be able to learn those lessons, right?
Yeah, they're people. They're little people. My son and I, the one that is living with me, we have a really great relationship. It's special.
How old is he?
I'm very thankful for that. He is 16 and he's going through all the stuff with a girlfriend, with a car, and it's just really great to be part of his life.
And where are the other 2 boys now?
My son that has cerebral palsy, he lives in an apartment not too far from me. He has a caregiver and he lives on his own mostly, but he can't walk. He can't get out of bed. He can't get dressed. He can't go to the bathroom on his own. He can't shower. So he needs a lot of care, but mentally he's fine. So he spends a lot of time on his iPad, super intelligent, and he speaks very well. I wish he worked, but he doesn't. And my other son actually lives with my parents still. So when he turned 18, he moved out and moved back with my parents. So they're close and we talk usually every day.
Well, that's good. Were you hurt at first when he moved back with your parents?
No, it was like he needed to. We were just at a point that we weren't getting along. And my parents have always been that ever since they're little. And they're just like, okay, come here. And they love it. My parents love it. They love having somebody younger there to help them do stuff. So it all works out.
That's good. Did you go into your marriage? Did you jump into that with the same feelings of I want somebody to take care of me and love me? Or had you completely healed?
No. I hadn't completely healed at all. And it was the same thing. Yeah. Oh, he's paying attention to me. He must love me. And I'm going to be what he wants me to be. And you can only do that for so long, putting yourself into a box so that you think other people are going to like you. It doesn't really work.
But you're always changing for that other person versus just being who you really want to be. There's that fear of if I don't do this the way they like it, or if I don't be who they see me as, then that love is going to fall.
Yeah. And it did. That's exactly what happened once I started really sticking up for myself, my needs, my business, my kids, the relationship fell apart. Yeah. It was really difficult to leave that relationship because of the kids. We were together for, I think, almost 10 years, and the kids were between ages 5 and 15, all 7 of them. It was, yeah.
That's a lot.
It was a lot, and I felt like I was letting them down. That's always been a huge story of my life, is that I feel like I'm letting everybody down if I'm trying to be myself. That's been a couple of years now.
Have you gotten to the point where you're ready to stop letting yourself down?
Yeah. It was such a painful breakup that I knew I couldn't go through that again. There was no way. Like, I wouldn't make it again. Like, that's how painful it was to leave and leave the kids and leave the house and leave everything just so I could learn who I was and finally just breathe and find my safe space.
Are you still close with those kids?
Not really. We stay in touch. They live all over the country now. But because the relationship that I was in with their dad was so rocky, we never really developed a deep connection. I love them very much. And I love knowing what they're doing and keeping tabs on them.
Well, 10 years is a long time. They're crucial years, too, of a child's life. You have a lot of influence during those times.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really hard because my ex and his ex-wife, the first wife, they didn't get along. So it was
a lot of drama.
A lot of drama. I was the scapegoat for a lot of it because I was safe, because I wasn't drama. And yeah.
Kudos to you, girl. How do you feel about talking about it? And now looking back, and do you feel like, wow, I did do a lot of good? In other words, sorry, let me rephrase that. Holy crap, I'm awesome that I got through all that. What's your feelings as you're talking about it?
No, I am totally I can't believe I did that. That was really hard. And we live in the same town.
Oh, wow.
It's a small town and everybody knew us. And I was so afraid what people are going to say. and they weren't going to understand, but everyone's been really great. Yeah, it's, I didn't make a Facebook post about it. I didn't want, I just wanted to be here in my space and just start over completely.
That's amazing. Probably feels like a lifetime ago.
It does, yeah. And having people around me that support me. That's the thing I was always missing that I knew I needed, was I needed support from people and I needed to learn who those people were. And when you're surrounded by people that don't support you, it doesn't feel good, but you don't know why.
Yeah, it's amazing what a few good friends can do to you, hey?
I know. Yeah.
Finding a few good girlfriends, it can propel your life. Like, and then you can tell those ones that just hold you back. It's almost like either they're jealous or they don't want you to excel. But then as soon as you lose those friends and you have friends that are like cheering you on and just, you got it. You're like, wow, where were you guys my whole life?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just keep coming.
Difference.
Yeah. They just keep coming once you make those choices.
You seem like a person that you would want to be friends with, Stephanie. You seem very sensitive and caring and empathetic.
I am very caring, but I'm also very, I have like really good boundaries now when it comes to people and how much time I spend with people. I'm very cautious about overextending myself, and I know I have to put myself first.
If your bucket isn't full and you have nothing to give, it makes it a lot harder to be yourself. It makes it a lot harder to give to other people when you are completely depleted.
Yeah.
It's not selfish. It's self-love. It's taking care of ourselves so that we have more to give. Right?
Yeah. So there's no other way. That's the whole thing. It's like, there's no other way than to learn how to love yourself. I've spent so many years thinking there was something wrong with me because I didn't have the right people around me, because I was trying to be somebody that they loved. When you're constantly like seeking that validation from others, it's not going to ever fill you up. You're just going to stay on pretty much empty.
100%. Have you been part of any teenage pregnancy advocacy?
I have not. I've thought about it a lot. It just hasn't manifested into something, but I have some ideas for some sort of scholarship to help young women who are pregnant or have young kids to either go to massage therapy school or become a makeup artist. My first profession was massage therapy. So that was great. It was 9 months and I had a great career for quite a while doing that. Or photography, something that's not going to take 4 years to complete and you can just get going, because that's really what I needed, was some sort of fast track to earning my own income.
Something that you can do at home and do with kids and manage it, have your own schedule versus go to a job outside the home. And
I think my first job after I had my kids was at Kmart, and you're making $7 an hour. That's not ever going to lead to independence. Some way to help young women get to that independence, that freedom, that safety, because I'm sure my life path is very similar to a lot of other women's life path, whether it's abuse or child pregnancy or who knows what, but finding that independence and safety is huge.
That's a great idea. That'd be really good.
It is a great idea. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet you can get a few other people that you know on board that would contribute to that scholarship for sure.
Yeah. My focus right now is my son and my business. And as soon as it's time, it'll be time. Yeah, I've learned that you can't force things to happen. And sometimes just talking about it is enough to keep it alive, keep that spark alive.
There's a season and a time for everything. I think I've been thinking about doing a podcast since I was 32 and I'm 55 now. And that's a lot of years to be thinking about it, but it wasn't the right time. First of all, podcasts didn't even exist. So how I was going to come up with a radio talk show on my own. And plus I have all these 5 kids to raise. It just goes to show you that you have a dream and a passion for something. It will come when the time is right.
Yeah. And it's really hard to do it when you feel like you're on your own. So that's what I'm learning, is that, like I said, people just keep coming and coming into my life that are just amazing. And that's not going to stop because I have the self-love for myself.
And you give out the vibe and the energy that you genuinely love other people too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And people are amazing. We're all just, everybody has a story that deserves to be told.
Yep. I truly believe. And there's not a person that we wouldn't love if we knew their story.
Oh, yeah. I love that. It's so true.
Because we always see the cover, the Instagram, the perfect whatever snapshot of their existence, but we don't really get to the depth of who they are and what has brought them to be that person. But yeah, I mean, with all the women I've interviewed, I'm constantly amazed. I'm surprised my chin isn't always on the ground because I'm just like, wow, you're so amazing for getting through all of that stuff. And that's why I love that you're sharing your story, because I think it gives a platform for people to talk about it, for people to feel vulnerable. Wow, I'm going through that. I can open up. I can share. It's also very therapeutic, I find, to share your story. It brings it out of the darkness into the light, and there's nothing stopping you now.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we have to be obviously be in the right place to share. We can't be sharing in the thick of it.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I shared my story, it was on Zoom over COVID. I was part of this women's networking group, and I was so afraid of being judged for my first marriage and being a teen mom that I just wanted to present my Instagram self too. And it was, I don't know what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to talk about something. And I said, I feel shame talking about this, but this is my story. And the woman was like, we want to know more. We want to know more about this. This is amazing. That was the first time that I actually felt more empowered by my story than held back by it.
Yeah. And every time you share your story, even if people don't say anything, there's always going to be someone that feels less alone by hearing your journey, because it helps a lot. So I appreciate you sharing your story. I'm sure it's hard to go through all those emotions again.
It is hard. I'm super excited about sharing it. I love talking about that pain that I was in, but to feel the pain, it just pops up. It's so that's the hard part, is that just that feeling, because you're instantly back in that space. And the thought that I was that trauma state for so long, not realizing it, that's heartbreaking for that younger self that I was in, because she didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves that. But the fact that I'm out of it and I have the awareness to know that it's over and I'll never go back to that again is very empowering. So you can't really have one without the other. They just coexist.
I know. I was like, why? Why do I have to go through this to get to this point?
Why is life so hard?
I know. It's like, why can't I just, can somebody just write me a manual and say, okay, Lisa, you need to learn this. Okay, I'll learn it.
Yeah.
I'll just read a book. Don't throw the crap. So I have to learn it. Just leave me.
And having kids, it's like you want to protect them from all of that, but that's just life. And you can put them in a bubble and they're still going to figure out a way to hurt themselves. It's just how
I know. It's really hard. I just published my daughter's interview Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
And that was hard, because even editing it and listening to it over and over, and I'm like, basket case, bawling my eyes out, because I'm just like, why didn't I help, or why couldn't I see this? Or, you know, all the mom guilt that comes. And yeah, so it was hard. And especially when I interviewed her, I had to just turn that off, or else she wouldn't have been so open. But listening to it over and over again while I'm editing, that's torture. It's like,
Lisa, that's amazing that you held space for her to do that.
Thank you. I interviewed her back in November and she kept saying, no, I don't want to publish it. And then I'm like, and then she's okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm like, okay, whenever you're ready, because I'm not going to do it until you're ready. And that goes with all my guests. If they all said an interview and then they change their mind, I'm okay for it. Because the whole idea is to help others, not to hurt anybody, even right. The person giving the interview. Just giving the interview sometimes might be therapeutic enough and they don't need the whole world to hear about it, right? It's hard when you're the mother.
Hearing you talk about it is breaking my heart. I feel it in my heart.
That's because you're an empathetic person.
Because we're moms, and being a mom is so hard. It doesn't matter if you have a child or step-parenting, step-mom, mom. You get pregnant and you lose a child, mom.
Yep.
All of it, adopted mom. It's really not, amazing it's not for the to week. Share our stories.
Being a mom is not for the weak.
No, it's not. And it's okay. That's the whole thing. It's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to shed some tears, and it's okay to share how hard it is.
Yeah, it is.
I listened to this, I don't know what it was, TED Talk or something. And this woman said, 10% of the content you put out, people are going to hate. 80% are indifferent. They don't care. And then 10% are your fans. 90% of the people aren't going to react or react positively. So it's just all about those 10% that.
And even if you help one person.
Yeah.
That's all that matters, because that person was waiting and the timing was right. They were listening to you right when they needed to hear something, and then they don't feel alone. And then hopefully hearing your story, they get to your destination faster.
I hope so.
That might not always happen, but at least they have some insight and foresight to say, okay, I can see the patterns here, so I'm going to stop them earlier.
Yeah. I like to tell people, if you're having a down moment, just to take a second and think about something you're really good at. What if you're really good at crocheting and nobody else is? Or you're really good runner. It's just anything you can do to bring up that self-confidence is going to help. And you trick your brain into thinking positively about yourself, but you have to be aware, and you can't be aware until you're safe. So it all goes back to that safety.
And some of the things that I've gathered from what you've said too is surrounding yourself with people that care, truly care about your happiness, your success, but it's a mutual friendship and caring. I think we all need that. Just need to have one real good friend. The value of friendship is so important.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it really is. And you have to love yourself first.
Nobody
wants a friend that's not vulnerable. Yeah. And
yep, that's a good point. You can't really honestly love anybody else until you love yourself, because you're constantly thinking of yourself. You're not really giving your full self to somebody else either until you can love yourself.
For the longest time, I thought there was something wrong with me. I can't even tell you how many books I read on self-help so I could, in my second marriage, to try to stay married. I just thought if I could read enough self-help books, I would somehow fix the relationship, because of course I thought it was all my fault. I wasn't a good friend. I have a lot of regrets, because when my grandma died, I wish I would have spent more time with her, but I didn't, because I was probably reading a self-help book on how to be a better wife to, or whatever I was reading at the time.
We become consumed with ourselves, but not in the negative side.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the positive side of being good. But I think then once we love ourselves too, we actually believe it when people say they love us.
Yeah. And you attract it. Yeah. I wasn't ever going to get in a relationship again either. And last year I was on a walk and I saw this guy taking pictures and we both said hi. And I was like, oh, he's got a nice camera.
Oh, is that really what you said, Stephanie?
I did. Yeah, he did have a nice camera.
Ooh, nice camera.
And yeah, we noticed these things. And then a couple weeks later, so we were friends on Facebook, but I'm friends with a lot of people, whatever. And he had posted a picture of the kid. And I was like, oh, that was you taking pictures, because I saw that. And we started talking about photography and it was just chatting. And then we started taking pictures together and then we started dating. Everything's been so slow and organic. It's just nice. And I don't have to be anybody but myself, because we're almost like the same person. Again, just people just come into your life. And if you're young and it comes, great. And if you're old and it comes, great. It just, I tell my kids that, I'm like, it took me a really long time to just be okay with myself. And it's okay to wait too. If you're not, there's no rush to find the right person. It just happens when it's supposed to.
Absolutely. And it's nice when you can finally recognize what real love is. So I'm glad that you've gotten there. I'm glad that you've found somebody that loves you as you are.
And it's not just him. I've got friends that we just have the best time too. And doing the things I love to do. I have a friend who loves hiking. She's a new friend. I'm like, it's just so nice that you know how to hike. You just have to get there. And anybody can get there. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
I appreciate this conversation, Stephanie.
I appreciate you. This is great.
And once you're my friend, even if it's just via interview,
I know,
you're always my friend because that's just the way I am.
We're friends. I love it.
You just have to be open to, you just don't know where you're going to find your friends. And all of our people in our lives, our husbands, our friends, we're all strangers before we knew them.
It's weird to think that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is probably TMI, but I had my first mammogram yesterday. And yeah, the woman and I, we were just chatting away. I'm like, you're posing my boob like I pose people. And she's, oh, you're a photographer. And yeah, we were just...
You pose boobs.
Yeah, because she was like, drop your elbow. And I'm like, oh, I know. Just tell me. I can do it. And so I'm the same way. I love talking to people.
Although I don't know if I'd want to become friends with the girl that's giving me my mammogram. We've seen a little bit too much of me. We cannot be friends.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she sees them all the time.
Yeah. The doctors that have given the pap smears. Nope. Sorry. We can't be friends.
That is my limit.
You know a little too much about me. I'd like to be your friend, but no, you know too much. Yep. Can relate.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Stephanie. If I'm ever in Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I love Canada so much.
It's very beautiful.
It is so beautiful. I'm trying to think of the lake that we were at. Lake Louise. We traveled all over in a camper van for 4 months. So
nice.
Yeah, I saw all Ontario all the way to British Columbia. Yeah, so
Victoria and Vancouver is gorgeous too.
Yeah, yeah, it was beautiful. I have a lot of respect for you Canadians because it's beautiful there, but it's cold in the winter. You guys are tough people.
If you're ever here, we have a place to stay.
All right, that sounds great.
Thanks very much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. And thank you, Stephanie, for sharing your story. Thank you to all my guests that share their story and help change and influence others' lives. There's not a week that goes by, or sometimes days, that I don't get a message from somebody who reaches out and expresses the love of these episodes and how much the stories that have been shared have influenced and helped them in their lives. So I really appreciate all of my guests being willing to come on and be vulnerable and share their story. If you know someone that has a story that you want to hear, reach out to me, let me know, and I'll try to make it happen. Lots of amazing stories continuing to come up in the next few weeks. And again, I just can't say enough about all these women. I'm deeply grateful for you as listeners, because without you, this podcast would not continue to happen. That you share with friends, your messages, all of that means so much to me and keeps me going, honestly, because this is a lot of work. And so thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Reach out to somebody, talk to a stranger, even if it's somebody giving you the mammogram, and strangers become friends. Remember to be kind. You don't know what other people are going through. I'm your host, Lisa Helton, and you're listening to the Trust a Friend podcast. See you next week, my friends.